All righty, we're at the 19th of November, 2014. I am here with Rolf, and we are talking about his strengths. So, you sent me your report. You've looked at your top five. Talk to me about your initial impressions.
Well, I assume you want my honest impressions.
Yes, of course. What in the world?
I just don't, I'm not sure what to make of it. You know, I felt as I was reading through it, there's a few things that resonate, but in general, it was interesting. I wasn't having insights or strong sort of, oh yeah, that's me, or, in fact, I've kind of just been looking at them. I just reread them again this morning, thinking that, well, maybe when I last read it, you know, I was in a bad place or whatever, and it, you know, I just wasn't open to it or whatever. But it just kind of leaves me flat. So I'm just not sure what to say beyond that.
Okay. Well, you know, occasionally I run into somebody that it doesn't resonate with. Let's look at it a little bit more deeply and see if a light bulb goes off, or if not, it's not your thing.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
Okay. So there's 34 total strengths, and they're divided into four areas. Two of the areas are task-related, and two are people-related.
Okay.
And you have strengths in three of the four areas. So the first area of task is around executing, getting stuff done. And your achiever and your arranger are executing strengths.
Okay.
Okay. The second area around task is around strategic thinking and approaching task from that angle, and two of your strengths are strategic thinking, strategic and learner.
Okay.
And then the remaining two areas are people strengths. One is relationship building, it's very much how it sounds, and the other is influencing, which is moving people to do something. And your maximizer strength is an influencing strength.
Okay.
So your first strength is strategic thinking, next executing, then strategic thinking, then influencing, then executing. So this is just a high-level overview. How does it fit for you being very strong in a strategic thinking approach and an executing, getting things done approach?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that rings true.
Okay.
I definitely see the strategic thinking piece. You know, I really like looking at the big picture, and I like imagining what is possible. You know, creating in the sea of infinite possibility. I mean, that really resonates with me.
Okay.
I'm glad that there's some task-oriented piece in there as well, because otherwise nothing would get done. So that makes sense. You know, the achiever, I mean, at least the way they wrote about the achiever piece was, you know, it sounded like it was a lot about getting work done and kind of almost busy work oriented. And I found that, you know, I'm not sure that's a great strength. I mean, I think it's more important to know what's important to do and make sure that gets done rather than just be busy doing stuff.
Yeah.
And,
you know that's I'm sorry I interrupted. Go ahead.
That's all right.
I think that's
I don't know what I was going to say.
Okay. I think your point is hugely important, and something to know about all of the strengths. Our top five strengths we're going to use constantly. And that being said, we can use them in more or less of the optimal way. One of my colleagues made a chart for all 34 where he put a definition for what might look like an immature or kind of a raw way to use that strength, and then also a mature or mastered way to use that strength, which I thought was lovely. And he only gave one example of each. And Achiever might have 15 different components to it. And so you could do that with all 15. You could say, well, this is what it would look like raw, this is what it would look like more mature. And of course, there's a significant difference. So when you think about Achiever for you, like you've now read the Gallup definition a couple of times, but when you think about, well, if I am an Achiever, what does that look like for me? What does that spark for you?
Say that again.
So even though you've read the Gallup definitions, that's nice, that's them. Now, thinking about you, thinking about Achiever, thinking about the idea that it could be a way to be an Achiever that's a little bit raw or immature, or it could be a way to be mature and more mastered with it, what can you tell me about what you know about you as an Achiever, if in fact you are?
Well, I'm not sure how to answer that, but what comes to mind is that, I mean, just looking back over the last 10 years, I recognize there have been times when I've gotten really wrapped up in, you know, working on a website or learning a new marketing system or whatever the work was, and just, you know, spent hundreds of hours just devouring it and just getting lost in it day after day. And, you know, without substantial results. And what I'm starting to see now, I think, like, for example, the shift that I've been going through in the last week is I was starting to kind of go down that hole a little bit, thinking that, well, I've got to have a website. Well, it would be really nice to have a website right now. I wish I had one that was a beautiful expression of who I am and the work that I'm here to do on this earth. And at some point I'll have that. But what I've seen in the last week is there's a simpler, there's a really simple low technology path forward. Mm-hmm. My real strength is connecting with people, and I guess one of the things that surprised me about this is that there's nothing in the relationship piece, because I think that relating to people in powerful ways is one of my greatest strengths. So it's just interesting that it somehow it got left out here. But getting back to the Achiever piece, so I think the Achiever piece can serve me well as long as I'm focusing it on the right things. And,
beautiful.
You know, I think it's going to be important for me to, over time, is to sort out what is it important for me to do personally, and what should I be farming out to somebody else?
Yeah.
And I think that the more time I can spend face to face with live human beings, either, you know, speaking to a group or teaching a group or one-on-one, or talking on the phone, or writing, I guess. I think that's where the power comes from, and that's where I mean, and that takes advantage of my strength.
Yeah. And when
I
you
can
look
write,
at your...
I can, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You can write.
Well, I can write. I love speaking. I love having conversations with people. And, you know, I guess, and my whole approach to public speaking really is, I just don't see it much, and same with teaching a group. I just don't see it much different from having a, you know, the kind of conversation I had with Brian yesterday for 3.5 hours. to me, it's the same thing. You're just, you know, you're finding a way to connect on a heart level, and talk deeply and profoundly about life and how it works. And for me, that's, you know, that's what I'm doing if I'm one-on-one. That's exactly what I'm doing if I'm teaching a group. That's exactly what I'm doing if I'm standing in front of a group.
Okay.
It's a little more challenging to do it with writing because I don't have the human beings in front of me. But I think I'm getting better at storytelling and writing in a way that connects with people. But that's taken me a little while to get better at that.
And interesting that you put that strategy in place with storytelling. So you figured out a way for you to get better at it. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, storytelling is the secret for me.
Okay, good. So storytelling is a hallmark of a person with the communication strength, so is public speaking. And the communication strength is also an influencing strength like maximizer. And
okay. For
all we know, it's your sixth strength. I also heard you talk about connecting a couple times. Connectedness is a relationship building strength. It could be your sixth strength or your seventh strength. And the difference, like your 6 to 10 or your 6 to 12, they're not as automatic, but they're absolutely available to you. And so if you wanted, you know, you could pay $89 and get your 34 strengths in order, and you would then know, you know, if this was bugging you and you felt like you wanted to go deeper into StrengthsFinder. And I generally don't have people do the 34 at first because there's something about owning the top ones, because they're going to be operating whether you want them to be or not, and the more you can help them operate, like what you just described about achieving the right things, that's a much more mature, a much more mastered use of achiever. And I heard you bringing in your strategic, bringing in your maximizer, bringing in your arranger to inform achiever so that achiever is achieving the right stuff. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you think about something just like the piece about, okay, I'm going to go forward and get clients right now and I don't have a website, the way you're thinking about it, which of your strengths do you hear at play?
Well, definitely strategic, and it seems to me that it's really relationship connectedness and the communication and speaking.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about StrengthsFinder is it says absolutely nothing about our interests. So your primary interest, at least professionally, maybe even personally, I don't know, is people. You know, what makes us tick, what difference the three principles makes. So if you looked through the lens of you're interested in people, and then you do it strategically through an achiever way of being, with learner as a top priority, maximizing as you go along and arranging things in an optimal way, how does that shift anything for you? Does that open up something for you?
You know, I guess it doesn't. I guess it resonates in sense that it, you know, yeah, that makes sense, and that that would be a way of using all those words in a way that makes sense.
We want to go a little deeper than rearranging the words, definitely.
Yeah, and it's just interesting. I'm just noticing my own responsive to this. It's just, there's something, I think, I don't know what it is. I'm just curious about it. It seems like there's, I think what it feels like to me is that somebody had an insight about people and created this framework as a way of describing the different facets of human strengths and but I guess I'm having a hard time connecting to it on a soulful level. To me, it feels like they're interesting ideas, but I'm just not connecting to it on a soul level, like I often do when I'm having, you know, if I have an insight that actually shifts my consciousness. Now that's exciting. And obviously you could have that having this conversation, but there's something about maybe it's that I feel like I'm being, and this, I mean, this isn't you or anybody in particular, but it feels like it's trying to fit me in a box that I don't know that if I fit in or not, and I don't care.
Yeah, okay. Do you remember what prompted your curiosity, like why you even wanted to do it in the first place?
Yeah, and that's okay. That's part of what makes this interesting, because what triggered it and what really got me curious was you talking about kind of understanding, I don't remember the details, but there was something you were talking about recruiting or creating a client and having that client creation conversation, and you shared how it was helpful you, if you knew that you were a really great coach for people who are good at getting things done, who are gonna, you know, who are gonna actually do stuff and be action oriented and not just strategic and not just whatever, but in the end they were actually gonna do stuff. And if you knew that they didn't have any strengths in that execution area, they weren't achievers or maximizers or executors or whatever the words are, then that would raise a red flag for you. And you had this wonderful question that you posed, you said something to the effect that, you know, I'm not sure that I would be the best coach for you. Tell me a little bit about, Talk a moment about, you know, how you get things done. You said something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so anyway, that just all made a lot of sense to me. And so I thought, ooh, maybe that'll help me. Maybe that'd be useful for me to understand some of that, especially as it relates to creating clients, because that's what I'm kind of struggling with right now. So that's what inspired me, and I was very excited to take it. And in fact, I went in, and it was either later that day or the very next day when I did it. But I have had this experience before. I've taken the Myers-Briggs, and I've taken, you know, there's another one called PeopleSoft or something like that. You know, I've done 4 or 5 of them, and I've had the same experience every single time. I'm motivated to do it. I'm curious what going in, but there's, I think maybe the easiest way for me to talk about it would be to kind of put it in the context of the principles. Do you mind if I try doing that for a moment?
Please, let's do it.
You know, the principles are pointing to fundamental truth and universal creative principles that are before all content, all thought, all manifestation of thought. I think this is it. So any thought, once we funk it, it's after the fact, right? It's after the fact of thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, it's now gone. It's now moved from the realm of the principle of thought with a capital T into the content of thought with a small t.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does.
So I think what I resist is this, you know, this Gallup Strengths Guide is somebody's content. It is. It's a survey or tool or assessment tool that somebody in their, you know, best intelligence at the time created. But it's a fixed system. And it's after the fact. It's after the fact of thought. It lives and breathes in the world of content. And so I just find myself less interested in it, because what's more interesting to me is the infinite potential that lies just on the other side of that transition from the formless into the form. Now, I'm realizing, you know, you're being a little bit of a, what's the word? I'm not being consistent, because, you know, I've been, you know, talking in excited terms about lean startup terminology and lean startup canvas and all that stuff, and that's exactly the same. That's somebody's thought.
Right.
And so, you know, I find that really helpful, and I share it with people, and I brag about it. So I'm being a little disingenuous or inconsistent, I guess.
Yeah.
In that regard, and I don't know if that's here or there.
Well, maybe it is, because remember what I said about StrengthsFinder says nothing about your interests. So maybe you have a natural interest toward all the things that caused you to start boomerizing. Maybe you have a curiosity and an interest around the canvas of lean startup, which I might know what you mean and I might not, right? But I'm curious. And maybe you don't have an interest in the part of thought that categorizes people, whether it's PeopleSoft or Myers-Briggs or StrengthsFinder. Maybe that particular area doesn't interest you or even, in fact, annoys you. When I say that, what happens for you?
I find myself nodding my head. Yeah, and you know, again, this is just purely my own take. But here's I guess my take on it is that when it comes to unraveling the mysteries of what it means to be human, what we need more of is simplicity, and what we need less of is complexity. And I think that these systems tend to be complicated. As you said, there are 32 strengths, and you know, and each of us has five main ones. And I imagine myself, for example, being a team leader and sitting around a conference table with 12 people and trying to keep track of, you know, okay, I've got these five strengths, and Joe over there has five different strengths, and I need to communicate with him in a certain way. And then there's somebody across the table who's completely different, and then you multiply it all of that times 12, and it just gets pretty complicated. And
got it.
And the biggest problem that I have with that is that it adds, I then have more on my mind instead of less.
Mm.
And I think that that what people need so desperately is to have less on their mind in that moment, to just trust that, yeah, there's infinite variety, but I don't need to know the details. All I need to know is how we're the same, and how we're the same is we all create our experience exactly the same way, via thought, mind, and consciousness. We all get distracted by our moods, our state of minds. We all experience the reality that we're in through the individual lens of our thought system. That's why the 12 people sitting around the room are experiencing the same meeting in 12 different ways, because we're experiencing that meeting through the lens of our thinking. Now, I don't have to go in there and analyze each of those thought systems in order to understand that everybody's having a different experience. I know from this get-go that they're having a different experience. But I can tell when the feeling is off. And the details of why the feeling is off doesn't matter. But it's clear if, you know, we were having a great meeting and there was a nice feeling and there was a kind of a creative flow to things, and now all of a sudden it's a train wreck. What the hell happened? That's really helpful to know. And what I need to develop in order to notice that and respond to that is I need to be present enough to notice my own feelings and the feeling in the room, you know, or to notice that, you know, the comment that Joe just made had a real edge to it that, you know, wasn't there a moment ago. What's with that? It's the same problem I have with the therapy world, which, you know, what's that book called where they list all the mental illnesses? Do you remember what that's called?
Oh, yeah, the DSM-4, DSM-5 book, yes.
Yeah, you know, and it's an inch or more thick, and it's got,
yes.
You know, I forget what they're up to now, but it's like 400 or 5 or 600 different diagnoses, you know.
I hear you. I don't like that much either.
Yeah, and it's like, what fucking good is that? You know, what that does is that convinces us that, you know, that we're so different from each other that then you have to have people that specialize in these, you know, all these different areas. Are you kidding me? I mean, the beauty of the what I learned from the three principles practitioners is that you don't have to pay any attention to any of that. It doesn't matter, because that's all stuff. That's all shit that happens after the fact of thought. And if your reference point, if the place that you're pointing to solve problems lies prior to the fact of thought, then all the shit that happens after the fact of thought is just details. You know, it might be interesting. You might come up with interesting theories about it or whatever, but it's not germane to solving the problem. It's not germane to someone having an insight that changes how they see the world, including whatever the problem was. So when I do the PeopleSoft and the Myers-Briggs, and when I did this, I think that what I feel like I'm doing is pulling out that psychology book, you know, and I'm reading about somebody's theory about this or that aspect of human experience. And I start losing interest.
And you're losing interest because what's of more interest to you is?
Well, it's similar to, you know, the book Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus or whatever that book is. You know, that book is looking at men and women and after the fact of their, you know, after their experience. You look at their experience, you think, oh, you know, they're really different for all these reasons. Well, what's far more helpful is to recognize that on the level of our humanity, we're all the same.
Yeah.
And what has been immensely helpful to me and Lori in our marriage is not focusing on how different we are, but always having this home to come home to, which is, we all are creating the experience that we have moment to moment via our thinking. And when we drop our crazy thinking, whatever's going on, all the shit disappears and we come home to ourselves. And in that place, you know, we're creative and we're forgiving and we have compassion and we love each other and we see the best in each other and we give each other the benefit of the doubt and all that stuff. So that's my 2 cents worth.
It's so beautiful, Rolf. I have 2 responses to you. One from outside the StrengthsFinder perspective and one from the StrengthsFinder perspective. And
okay.
I think I'll start with the one that's outside, because that's where you are. I had this felt sense when you were talking about, well, we could focus on our 500 illnesses, or we could even focus on our 34 StrengthsFinder strengths or our Myers-Briggs, ENFTJ, whatever.
Right.
But that's a certain naming. It's a certain limiting. I have a personal perspective that I'd rather be labeled with StrengthsFinder than with the DSM-4 diagnoses, but I hear the similarity from what you're describing. And so you view the world through this lens of, I, Rolf, know that it works better to go from where we're all the same. So that's where my interest is. And pulling my interest away from where we're the same to look at where we're different, no, that's not for me. So I hear that loud and clear. And what's so cool now from the StrengthsFinder perspective is I hear your strategic and your maximizer choosing that. That for you, you see a lot of ways to view the world, and the principles has given you a very solid one that works significantly better than any of these other ones. And so that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I hear your strengths at work, and for you, that's not where you want to put your focus, and I so support you in that.
Yeah,
I told you
that.
Occasionally I have somebody that this doesn't resonate for, but nobody's ever been able to really tell me why. So, you know, it's like, well, okay, you know, bless you on your journey. But
right.
What you're describing is equally interesting to me, you know, that like I too value simplicity over complexity. And I actually don't find StrengthsFinder complex. If you do 12 times 5, yes, way too complex. what happens for me when all of a sudden the energy changes and I see that now there's an edge to somebody, I look to their strengths to see where it came from. You don't go there. You go right to, wait a minute, something shifted. And my biggest frustration with the three principles is I don't want to be in a low mood very much, and I don't want to just wait for it to change. And sometimes that's all I can do. But other times I can use my strengths to shift it. So I'd love to know, just like from a completely personal perspective, how you work with that.
Well, I mean, first of all, if looking at it from that, looking at that situation from a principal's perspective, what's happening in that situation is that if you're in a low mood and you'd rather not be in a low mood, and it occurs to you to use this tool that you know about to do something that sometimes helps shift you out of that mood, that's your common sense and your wisdom, you know, coming up with a plan, an idea for shifting your mood. I mean,
sure.
You could have, you know, sometimes it occurs to me, I'll get really frustrated and I'll just head out the door with my dog. That's kind of my equivalent, I guess. Or I'll go for a bike ride. You know, when kind of nothing else is working and I'm just sick to death of grinding away or whatever I'm doing, that just, you know, I'm sick of it and I need a change of pace. Or I'll call a friend and go have coffee with them or something like that. They're,
sure.
So I think we all have the understanding moods. I guess the other thing that also it's helpful, I think, especially in terms of Lori's and my relationship, is that if we're getting on each other's nerves, one thing I recognize is that we don't try to fix it. We don't. It's interesting because sometimes I get sick of my own mood and I feel inspired or not inspired. Maybe I'm just pissed off and I just want to do something to snap out of it. But I don't typically go there with Lori. With Lori, and I sense this is probably true for both of us, is that if the mood is off and we're getting on each other's nerves, we just instinctively pull back a little bit, you know, and just give each other a little space. And
nice.
if it gets bad enough, we'll literally not be in the same room together because, you know, it doesn't feel good to be in the same room. But there's no attempt or any need to fix it or change it. We just, because we know it'll change whether we do anything or not. It'll change because it always changes. It just changes like the weather. And so there's, you know, I guess implicit in what you were saying is if you're in a lower mood and it bothers you that you're in a lower mood, well, then that's the problem. And what's creating the problem is you're thinking that you're not happy being unhappy.
Right.
Right. You know, you're angry that you're angry, you know, or you're depressed that you're depressed. And it's
right.
The second and third and fourth levels of thinking that gets layered onto it. That's where we pour the gasoline on the fire and it starts, you know, and then it gets worse and then we're even less happy with it. It becomes a thing and, you know, the discomfort gets so high that we feel like we have to do something to, you know, it's like popping a blister or something, and we just want it to go away.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't react to it that way, if we don't take it overly seriously, if we don't make a thing of it, if we don't add layers of value on top of it, it just isn't any big deal and it just goes away. So Lori and I will just, oh my God, you know, there's just a million fights we never had to have because we don't even engage.
How beautiful is that?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is beautiful. We just back off, and you know, when the other person's feeling better, it's obvious because they're smiling right. And joking, or you know, sometimes one of us, if I've been the grumpy one, you know, when I'm feeling better, then I'll just walk up to her and give her a hug, and she knows exactly what's going on. It's like the hug is, okay, I'm better now, and you know, I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, there's sometimes we'll say we're sorry, but a lot of times there's no need to say we're sorry because we know exactly mm-hmm. what happened. We just got a little stinko for a while, and you know, farts smell.
Right. Yeah. I so appreciate what you're saying from an intimate relationship perspective and probably far beyond that. When I was married the second time, we had a very challenging relationship, and so we went to a Harville Hendrix therapist. He's the one who wrote the book, Getting What You Want. Oh, my
okay.
God, what a miserable experience. We went
oh, really?
Every other week for 3 years, and nothing improved. Nothing. And
wow.
I don't know what made us so stupid. We just kept going. And then finally, we were both just so committed to it, working and both so miserable. And finally, one day, we just looked at each other at the same time and said, okay, let's stop. And we got a divorce.
Yeah.
And fast forward through a third marriage that didn't work for completely different reasons. It's now a few years ago, and I read the relationship handbook, and without even talking to Gary, my partner at the time, about it, I just started doing some of the stuff, you know, myself. And it was shocking to me how that's why I knew I wanted to know more about the principles, that things just were so much better. Because I did something different and allowed him to be how he was. So I would not go to a marriage counselor again. I would talk to a three principles person.
Yeah.
And as far as this whole strengths thing goes, you know, I love the Strengths Finder for the reasons I love it, and I work with it with everybody I know. Now, except you, because this isn't your thing, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting to me. Like, I think the whole reason we're having this conversation was for you to discern that. But this whole conversation about why you don't really want to engage with it has been extremely valuable for me because it's helped me understand the three principles from a different angle.
Cool.
And so now I'm excited because I get a little bit more depth with three principles and I get my love of Strengths Finder. You know, it's like both and for
right.
me. And for you, it's like, no, I'd rather do this thing. I don't need this other thing.
Right. Yeah, no, I really appreciate your perspective on all of that. It's just really refreshing. You just have this amazing, what is it? You just have this, you're really good at what you do and you have this beautiful humility about it so that you're not threatened if it doesn't go the way you thought it might, or, you know, or if, or in my case, if I just flat out challenge, you know, the approach that you're using. And I don't have a doubt in my mind that you help people tremendously using the Strength Finders, in part because you're so passionate about it, and you're using it as a tool for understanding humanity and understanding relationships and understanding situations. I think that's helpful. I experienced some of that in our conversation last week, and it was very helpful to me. But I love the fact that you can, you know, that you can be that good at it, and at the same time, you can step back and just be curious about what's, you know, what's we're all reacting to here, and what's, you know, that's interesting. And you were just, you were interested in it, and you were curious about it, and boy, I think that says a lot about you.
Thank you. You know, the StrengthsFinder, in a nutshell, the reason for it, as opposed to all the other ones or none of them, is because it focuses on strengths, right? That DSM-4 book, I don't want anything to do with.
Right. I hear you. I mean, and I'm with you on that. I much prefer. I think it's a much better idea to help people focus on their strengths than to focus on their so-called illnesses.
And at the same time, I've learned something. Like what you described to me so clearly fits for you, and it's made me want more around the principles. So how great is that? Me trying to talk you into this system would fly in the face of me understanding what makes you the strongest, right? Like something makes you strong that is outside of StrengthsFinder, which of course it is. And Gallup as a company is super annoying. Their way of marketing this, their way of selling it, their way of making all these weird words and then trademarking them, that whole thing just I hate. But I've looked beyond that because of the purity of what I love about the strengths, you know. And so I'm very well aware that this is man-made, not God-made. And it's
that's a good way to put it, right?
Right. But you're talking about, wait a minute, I'm already getting this from my source. I don't know why I want to take a couple of steps down and, you know, get it from the factory. And that just tickles me. I bet you I don't even know how you've changed me. Talk to me 2 weeks from now. I'll be like, oh, StrengthsFinder, that's so yesterday. Because, you know what, Michael Neal paved the way for that, because when he wrote his book, I can't even think of the name of it right now, but the Principles book, as opposed to all
the Inside Out Revolution.
Thank you. Exactly. He was so transparent about, this was the best I knew at the time back then, and now this is the best I know now, and it's better than the best I knew before, right?
Right,
and
yeah.
And I just so admired him for that.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah,
so.
I do. I think he served a lot of people with that.
Me
by
too.
Doing that.
Not, I think he served a lot of people, and I think this is what you're saying. First of all, he served a lot of people by writing the Inside Out Revolution, because it was written maybe a little more accessible than some of the other three-piece stuff.
Yeah.
But also, I think what you're getting at is he served people by saying, hey, I thought this was a great system before, and it was at the time, but this one is working even better for me, that giving people that permission, you know, because when we get really stuck to something, you know, this is the greatest, the greatest, the greatest, now today I find something better, oops, how am I supposed to say that and save face? Well, do what he did, say it, you know?
Right. Yeah, just be transparent.
Yeah. So thank you for the feedback about me, because that says to me that there was a reason I admired that in him, because I want truth with a capital T more than any system or more than any identity, you know?
Yeah, that
so,
completely resonates.
In your case, it's very clear that truth with a capital T involves sticking with the God-made stuff, and that keeps it really simple for you, and I love that. Yeah, and this is so not where I expected this conversation to go.
So where I think you can, so I think we should have more conversations, and I would love to help you any way that I can deepen your understanding of the principles and how they apply in your life. Mm. And I think you can help me understand how to create clients and how to, you know, how to use, well, just that, just how to create clients.
So do you want to do some kind of, sometimes I have a coach that I'm doing an exchange with, and it seems to work the best when it's clear what we each want, which you just perfectly named. And then we do it as long as it feels like it's serving both of us. And it does, I don't care if we call it coaching or not. It could be conversations, right? I mean, that doesn't matter. But something maybe a little different or in addition to what we've been doing with Mary and with Rich, and if we invited other people, I don't know. I need to go pretty quickly here, but I love what you're saying, and I'm wondering if what I just described is kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, it is. So I need to leave too. So let's just sleep on it and then see what comes up. But I think what I'm just feeling like it could be helpful to me. And so maybe it would look something like we talk twice a month or something along those lines. And, you know, half an hour I coach you and half an hour you coach me or whatever, something like that.
Sure.
I just think that I'd be open to that. So let's sleep on it, and then we can email each other and see if we still think that's a good idea after we've slept on it.
Good. We also said we would schedule something now for us and Rich and Mary. Where are you with that?
Oh, okay. So I was thinking that you, in that follow up email that you sent to them, that you suggested a date, but maybe you didn't.
I don't think I did.
Did you not? Okay. All right. So that's still up in the air. So, you know, I'm curious to know. I guess what we could do is just reach out to them and try it again and schedule something a similar time, you know, a couple weeks out, maybe after, but it should be after Thanksgiving, obviously, and just see if they rise to it. I have a feeling like we're just not going to get married back in.
I think that could be true.
And Rich, it feels to me like Rich is a little bit on the fence as well. So I don't know. I guess what we can do is invite them and then just see if they show up or not.
Well, you know, this is interesting. I just pulled up my email that I sent them last Thursday and said that we had a wonderful conversation and that we were going to talk today and then we would schedule our next three-piece call. But I asked both of them, Mary, is there a day of the week or time of the day that might more easily allow you to join us mid-December? And Rich, what about your schedule? And neither one of them responded. So
okay. So that's interesting.
Why don't we sleep on the new thing, and if we're doing that, do it separate from this? Does that sound?
Yeah.
And if it ends up that day we have to ourselves, then we can do part of our thing then.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much, Anne. I love our conversations.
Me too, and I love that this went to a totally different place than what we set out for. That's just brilliant.
I know. It's great. Have a lovely
day.
All right.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.